which arises with each citta.
You can see there are many different conditions. Karma is one condition. So, for example, if you experience painful feeling or seeing, this is a result of karma, but the anger that is experienced after this experience, this is accumulated, this is not the result of karma. So karma is
could be as well.
No, it may be a condition to, if you're so angry you'll hit me back, then maybe this will bring its result later, but the anger itself is, you could say it's accumulated. It comes about because of other conditions, not because of karma.
That's correct.
And why is it important? Well, you could say one reason it's important is some things like one's ill health or the painful feeling or hearing harsh words. You could say this is a result of karma that's unavoidable. But the real problem in life, you could say, is not that physical pain, but the mental state, the aversion that follows. To understand more details can be very helpful so that one doesn't mix it all together. When I had a cold, the cold is one thing, but getting upset about it makes it 10 times worse. But you know, I mean, it's true. It's, if one doesn't have any understanding of different conditions and different realities, one just thinks, oh, I'm so depressed because I've got a cold, and one doesn't realize that different realities arise because of different conditions.
What is the easiest method of training?
Training. You take the animal, you take that. The living thing is something like...
So you take that, patience.
You get
patience.
Used to it every day. Then you are very accomplished. So
and
you can be friendly.
Yeah. What is the best thing to train or to understand reality?
Yeah. Yeah, precisely.
Looking thing as it's me, as it's look the real things. Was it the wrong thing? Because we mix with symbols, we mix with language. That's why we just risk part of the real thing. Because of the poorness of language. The real thing is a test, but the explanation different. If by words, we will talk for a year, 100 years. But by feeling, we can be reached to the real thing very few moments.
If there is no understanding of different groups of rupa in the body, can there be less attachment?
Can there be less attachment?
To all these rupa, the groups of rupa. But when one understands more about the conditions for each group, one knows that it's beyond control.
Mm-hmm.
No one can condition it except these four conditions. The kamma, the citta, the uttu, temperature, and the ahara. And by direct experiencing with awareness, it will bring more understanding. There is nothing at all. It's only in your memory that you still have legs and lungs and heart and organs. But in reality, it does not appear. So it arises and falls away in split second all the time. Only the memory of what you used to have in your mind that you still have it. But in reality, it does not appear because it falls away, arises and falls away in split seconds. The rupa cannot stay at all, each group. Faster than we can guess how fast it is.
So what we call brain, it falls away each split second also.
Each group of rupa.
And that's why I think that science may be wrong, that they say everything, the function of the brain, and so the brain has no time, it falls away. How can it be?
Because we use the term for different colors in the body as lung, see? Because if there is no color at all, how can we pinpoint that this is lung and this is bones and this is blood, see? But by having different colors, we call it or name it and study it as function of such and such. But in reality, it's only a moment of touching, it falls away, arises and falls all the time. So in reality, there's no lung, no heart, no organ, because this is only conventional word for reality by different science of study.
But the Buddha did not deny the science.
No, because that is conventional.
It is
truth.
Conventional
truth.
But then I don't understand conventional truths at all anymore. How can anything function in your body when it falls away immediately?
It arises and falls away. It has the function of being solid,
yeah,
being like motion.
But we learn that the brain does something.
We call it brain, but
yeah,
actually, if there is no solidity and no cohesion, no motion at all, no function.
No, that's
but
right.
But since these are reality, it has their own functions. So you call it brain or something different, by different colors.
I find it difficult, the nervous system and the brain and that you learn about, and then you think of it falls away and it's only rightness. It seems like a conflict.
But split it up into tiny, a tiniest group, arising and falling away. But since it has its own characteristic and its own function, solidity has its own function too. Motion also has its own function. So by having all these functions, it, what we call it brain or something.
Yeah. Yeah. The functions are not denied. Because it's always the questions which come up.
Other people also. Because each
function
of the body.
Yeah.
At this moment, there is not only one color which is seen.
What is that? You was something earlier. Yes, I also wasn't clear. You said something about different organs or different colors.
Mean a question
about the function of the brain and nerves.
Yes.
That we read about science or medical science.
But it seemed we both had the idea that Kunsichin said something about different organs or different colours.
That is my answer to the question.
She said we know they're different organs by their different colours.
Colours.
Is that right?
What we name it different
we name
organs.
Them, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, by their different colour.
Yeah. But it has its own function of solidity, its own function of cohesion, motion in each group.
In other words, we name them differently by their appearance.
I see.
It's the same idea as food that you take in and it goes to the stomach and it falls away each moment, but there are different changes.
Each
it's the
moment
same, yeah,
arises and falls away
by heat,
by span of age too.
Yeah.
Can we call the reality which is seen as color? Like what color do you see?
Different
color is also a visible object.
I see.
And shape.
And thinking.
Thinking.
Because color is seen. But shape is recognized with your mind.
When you see only color into your eye, the light has certain color.
If you drive, you cannot see anything.
Yeah. No color, light, you see some color. Only color. But the form, the name, I think that's another process of the mind. The vision, perception, all the colors.
Any more special question?
Yeah, is it not too detailed?
Here? From my house?
Yeah, I could ask it. It's good.
When I think of Sama Sankata, I understand that the object is a nama or a rupa because it touches the nama or it touches the rupa. But now I'm only speaking about a path which is Lokiya, not yet Lokuttara.
Even so. Mm-hmm.
And when it is Nirvana, of course, it touches
even
Nirvana.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that is clear to me. In order to be a factor of the Eightfold Path, the object is at the moment nama or rupa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is another aspect to Samasankhapa, which is thinking nekama vitaka.
Mm-hmm. Kusala or akusala
vitaka.
Yeah,
yeah. And,
not of the Eightfold Path.
Because it is a person.
Because
often, or
it doesn't matter, because thinking things, you can call it whole thing, mm-hmm. but in reality it's thinking. So thinking itself can be kusala or akusala.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I thought a specter of the Eightfold Path, even so, it could be.
It's not thinking about concept at all.
No, mm-hmm. that's right.
So there are many levels of thinking. Thinking of concept, of thinking
yeah.
or touching the characteristic of reality.
Yeah.
When it's the Eightfold Path, it has to touch the characteristic, which is not self, no concept.
Yeah, but in the commentary, Samoa Vinodani, mm-hmm. it says, when it is Lokuttara, all wrong thinking is eradicated, the causes of wrong thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought maybe it has a function.
Each jetasik that has function.
Yeah, but the Samasankhapa,
yeah, has function to touch.
To touch, yeah.
Nibbana.
So I should leave out the other, because I was explaining in my book for beginners that there is another aspect to thinking, and that is these three, nekama, vitok, and...
It's ordinary thinking,
yeah.
Nothing to do with the Eightfold.
So I asked Alan, should I put it in or out, and he said, well, people meet it in the scriptures, in the sutras, and so I should mention it. Is it right?
Well, mention what?
When it is Lokuttara, it's clear to me, because they have the function of eradicating the causes of the wrong sila.
Mm-hmm.
But when it is Lokiya, it's more difficult to understand how they have a function. So in the commentary it said usually the path would be five factors.
Right, only five.
When it is Lokiya,
yeah.
not six. I'm thinking of six one at a time.
I don't think that there is written that not six.
Mm-hmm.
Just leave it that way.
I leave it.
Yeah.
And I didn't say five or six in my book.
Mm-hmm.
I evaded it. I avoid
mm-hmm.
to go into detail.
I think that these three abstention Jetasika cannot arise together.
No,
one know that it can arise just one at a time.
Yeah.
So if we stick to the five
stages,
yes, and then we don't bother understanding Dhamma or rarities, do you think it's enough?
I can't say whether it's enough or not, because it depends on the person's own inclinations, accumulations. People do what they according to their accumulations, so we cannot judge it's enough or it's not enough. But we can point out that it's very helpful to develop right understanding, because without right understanding, the precepts or the sila will not be very enduring. Will kill when there is a difficult situation, will not be steadfast. Actually, it's not enough, but we cannot judge other people. It depends on their accumulations. But better, of course, to develop more understanding, because the conditions more are around.
What would you do if she said that's enough?
I don't believe.
So you just want some things, opinion, that's
all?
Yes.
Yeah. You are very highly respected monk, talk about doing good, you see, all
yeah.
the time. And even the former Prime Minister of West Thai people to do good, and to do good, you see, and without reasoning at all.
And how to?
Yes.
Yeah? How to do good?
So it's keep on repeating all the time, do good.
Yeah. And no meaning.
And
it is exactly the Buddha's teaching to explain the cause and effect, and to explain how to develop.
A teaching of a highly respected monk too. And then he says that if another person is going to do something that I don't like, just let him or her do it. If another person is going to believe in another thing that I don't believe in it, just let it be. This thing is correct. Just let everything be as it is.
That's what the Beatles said.
So if we can point out Buddha's teaching to him. Because not everyone understands, not even monks understand it. Not all monks understand the Buddha's teaching. It is helpful if they are inclined to listen. And when someone is disagreeable to us, let's know the own citta, our own cittas. Because we can say, let it be, but maybe the citta may still be akusala or unwholesome. Burn when the citta is wholesome, kusala, and when unwholesome, akusala.
But if we look at a different angle of this, we can think that the expression "let it be" can be applied to the concept of if we are going to do anything, we have to think of self, right? We have to improve ourselves first before improving others.
If he means that, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not so clear when he says let it be or just leave it. He can say it with kusala citta. But it depends when he knows his own citta.
Do you mean that you try to follow what he said? But when you heard about this, do you think that you better try to do like that?
In some cases I rather follow that too in certain cases. For example, if I'm going to be angry with somebody, and then I will think to myself, I better let it be, and it's better to improve myself rather than improve other people.
But if you want to improve yourself, it depends. Because it can be that you think of the self, that you want to be better. Even that word, each word can have many meanings. So you may have conceit, I'm so good and I let it be and I want to improve myself. It all depends on the moment of citta.
Oh, I see.
It's very hard to say a general statement about it. It's so detailed, the different cittas.
But still, I think what she means in general is what you mean is instead of worrying about the other's citta, how about one's own citta at that time? Sort of minding about the other's anger, what about one's own anger at that time? So I think that's what you mean, isn't it? That it's more important to be concerned with one's own development or knowing oneself better rather than minding so much about the other's.
Yes. Is it rather easy teachings?
Do you think this kind of teaching?
Just let it be.
Yes, it's easier than understanding Dhamma. But anyway, I know that I have trying understanding Dhamma. I think it's better. It's make me feel happier than just sticking to that kind of teaching. The way I detach from something, I feel better.
But how do you do it? How do you detach?
Without the understanding?
Yes, with understanding, of course.
Understanding.
Understanding of what?
Of my Ditta.
As what?
My Ditta as a... As my Ditta... Yes, as my Ditta.
Is that understanding about Citta?
As myself.
Is that understanding?
So it's good that we realize that we really don't know much about our own Citta, about Dhamma even, that we are just beginners.
I think when you first start learning, your base has to be very strong and clear before you're going further. And when this base is not strong, then I think it's difficult. You could misunderstand many things.
If people just think that Dharma will help one to be happy, that is not the aim or the goal of studying Dharma. Because some people can be happy without studying Dharma, see?
The aim is to have less ignorance about yourself, about the many different cheetahs.
What are you going to teach in Adelaide about Buddhism? Adelaide. Yeah.
But anyway, I'm the beginner of Buddhism too, so I have to read more. But anyway, I would if they ask me about what is Buddhism, I would tell them that you have to understand your citta more, right? And then you have to try to get rid of your ignorance. He's wrong again.
They would say how? And what is ignorance? Yeah. And what is chitta?
Chitta.
Yeah.
What is chitta? Yeah. Yeah.
And then how would they say, how do you do it?
It's not easy at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I would be your student, I would ask, what is chitta? Because when you tell them about chitta, they would ask, what chitta is?
Citta.
Yes, what is citta?
Citta is the accumulation in your mind. It can be either kusala and akusala.
So you mean that you have mind and citta is the accumulation of the mind?
No, not the accumulation.
So
of
what
the mind.
Is citta? What is citta?
Citta is it is some. It's more or less like thinking.
No.
Nothing.
More or less like thinking. What about seeing? Is it not citta?
It's citta.
But seeing does not think. Yeah.
So. No.
Yeah. If someone asks, what is citta?
It's to see and to hear. Rarities as they are.
Yeah. That sounds more like panya or right understanding, to see or to understand reality. So I would like to know what is citta. Because you might be asked.
Yeah. You are alive. You are alive.
Yeah.
So that is citta. Must be.
Still, I don't understand what is citta. It brings me some guess if the answer is that. So tell me precisely what is citta.
It's a state of mind.
What is mind? And why do you say that it's a state of mind? Do I have right to ask when I would be a student?
Maybe a Western student.
I'm sorry to make this comment. I think before you go on and teach your student, you really have to.
That's why she comes here.
Yeah,
that's why she comes.
But tomorrow is finished. You are going, and you don't go to Hua Hin, so it's too short.
But even so, it doesn't matter if you can get the understanding of what you think correctly. Like if you think of mind, you think of state of mind, you think of citta, you better have the precise understanding, even if it's at the very beginning. It's like that no matter how many parts of the book in Tipitaka that you read, citta has the same characteristic. So if you can understand citta correctly, you can continue on understanding the words in Tipitaka, no matter it's Vinaya Sutta or Abhidhamma.
So what is citta?
Citta is the faculty of experiencing an object. Like now, this moment, we are not dead body, so there is seeing while the dead body cannot see. Even you may think that there is I, but no I sense, because I sense is conditioned by kamma only. I sense cannot be conditioned by temperature or nutrition or citta. It is conditioned by kamma. So one knows what kind of rupa is conditioned by kamma. So when kamma does not produce this rupa, nobody can produce it. So at this moment of seeing, there is eye sense, but the eye sense cannot see at all. It is another reality which can experience reality through eye sense, and only visible object can be seen. So any moment when there is the experiencing of an object, it is citta which experiences it. It's clear?
So that's why I just told you at the beginning that citta means the accumulation of kusala and
No, not the accumulation. It's the faculty of just experience an object. For example, it sees, it hears, it smells, it tastes, and it touches, and it thinks. The other are mental factors which arise with citta, because citta itself cannot arise alone, singly by itself. There must be conditions arising together, or conditions in the past to produce different citta at different times.
So citta must go with something else.
It arises together with mental factors. But mental factors, jetasikas, are not citta at all, because mental factors do not have the faculty of experiencing. Only citta has the faculty of experiencing, while the jetasika, the mental factors, have their own characteristics. For example, feeling cannot be the characteristic which cling. Feeling cannot cling, it can just feel pleasant or unpleasant or indifferent feeling.
So my understanding, so the feeling cannot cling, so it means that dhamma makes the feeling cling.
No, this is all mixed up. First you have to understand that there are absolute realities which we don't have to name them or call them anything, but realities are realities. You cannot change reality because there are conditions for each reality to arise differently. For example, citta is different from cetasika, and each cetasika is different from each other. So one has to understand that citta is not cetasika, is not rupa. And altogether there are three types of realities which arise and follow it. So it's easy to remember if you remember the word citta And Chetasika, the other one which arises and follow away is Rupa. And Rupa is not mentality. It's different. It's materiality or corporeality. And the Pali term is shorter than that. It is Rupa. So Chitta, Chetasika, and Rupa. If you understand these three, then you can continue on precisely. You don't mix this and that, like what is feeling cannot cling, things like that, because feeling cannot cling, right? But feeling just feel, and memory just remember or master object, or right understanding can understand, it cannot be aware. Concentration cannot understand, it can just concentrate. Things like this. Continue on from the very beginning, but don't forget the three realities. And the extra one is Nibbana. Nibbana is also reality, but Nibbana is different because Nibbana does not arise, does not fall away, does not experience any object either. But Nibbana is not Rupa. Nibbana is not Citta. Nibbana is not Cetasika. Rupa cannot experience an object. Nibbana cannot experience object. But Nibbana is not Rupa. So we have to be precise. We cannot say that anything that cannot experience object is Rupa, because Nibbana cannot experience Rupa, but Nibbana is not Rupa. What else would you going to tell your student?
Yes, yes. I would like to know. I will tell them about Kamma, but I myself don't know. This is my understanding about Kamma. Probably it's wrong again. It is the intention to do something, and the intention has been achieved. That intention is right.
I didn't listen to the last part.
Kamma means the intention that is achieved by doing.
That is
achieved by doing something. That is resulted in in action.
I see. The question is, what karma? What is karma? Or what karma is? Start from this. Anytime you hear any word, or you are going to talk about anything, just start with this, in order to have clear understanding first before we go further on. So, what is karma? You have three kinds of conditioned realities: citta, cetasika, rupa. So, what is karma in the absolute sense?
Impossible.
Cannot be cetasika, cannot be rupa. Rupa cannot be cetasika. Rupa cannot be citta. And cetasika cannot be rupa, cannot be citta. The absolute truth is absolute truth.
I mean, three of them is mean the combination of three of them. No mix.
Then it's conventional truth, not absolute truth.
We can study separately, but the combination of you, your body is rupa, your mind is jit, and your feeling or surround your jit is jitasik.
But it's not precise enough for the student to ask what is karma. So it's better to say karma. One of the three. Which one?
Karma, it happened to the jealousy. The thing that's happened to your jealousy.
It is a jealousy. It's not that happens to
the jealousy. Yeah, jealousy is a thing happened to the citta. So karma is a jealousy, right?
Do you have any karma cetasika in Abhidhamma? You haven't come across Abhidhamma yet, but we don't use that term, karma cetasika. We use cetana cetasika, because cetana is volition or intention. and it has many degrees. When it's vipaka, it's different from when it accompanies kusala or kusala citta. When it's kriya, it's not the same as kusala or akusala cetanas either. So when we talk about anything, let's be precise and understand more about the details. Just don't just assume karma, I know, I understand karma is just deed. That is not enough. But what condition or motivate such deeds? And one has to understand whether cetana arises with each citta or not. Because there are seven cetasikas which arise with each citta. Anytime citta arises, there must be at least seven cetasikas arising together, including intention of volition, which is cetana cetasika. It's not difficult for Thai to use the word cetana or to remember, but we have to understand correctly. Otherwise, we think in Thai terms, in Thai meaning cetana, which means the intention or deliberation. Do you think that your student is satisfied? Or they would ask more?
This question.
It is akusala thinking, right?
It cannot be kusala. No.
Yeah. And akusala. This is a tamma too?
Yeah. It's stored in your memory already.
Computers.
Your bad thinking already stored.
No, but it's not
actually. Every day, you
accomplished.
When you talk about Buddhism, you have to talk about karma, to, you know?
Talk about everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
But Ajahn, at that moment, when you have that akusala citta, wish somebody to, you know, die or whatever on the way home, at that moment, can you have sati?
You know that we're talking about many different things. We try to find out. But why don't we start from the very beginning, like I just said, that if there is precise understanding from the very beginning, you don't mix anything up. For example, whether this stage is karma or whether it's not karma yet, how can you know if there is no fundamental understanding about what karma is first? If you understand that, then you know that there is karma, there is vetana, cetana, cetasika at any moment. And so when it's vipaka, it's conditioned by karma, is the result, like citta and other cetasikas which arise together. They are all resultant vipaka. And you don't mind that, or you mind that too? Wanting, wishing to have only pleasant result? Well, what about the cause? You just want the good result. Sometimes with attachment and sometimes with aversion. See, is this not enough before there can be the karma through body or speech or mind or thinking about wanting other person to have accident or things like that? And I just on that stage, but don't understand this moment about different levels of karma or cetana. And I don't mind much about whether it's karma or not, because if one understands the moment of kusala and akusala citta closer, it's better than thinking of karma. Because when there's right understanding, one cannot commit any ill deed at that very moment. Through speech or deeds, one will think of the other with loving kindness, ready to help anyone. Otherwise, one wants to know about karma in order to experience the kusala vipaka, the pleasant result, which is still motivated by clinging. Many people do good deeds just to get good result. is that one's aim or one's goal to get just good result.
It's also nice to have good results.
Yes, very.
Even you don't, I mean, let's say you not think about the good results, mm-hmm. but you just try to get good results.
Yes.
That's also nice.
Yes, but one cannot get good result all the time. One has to know the reason, the cause for that good result.
Yeah, well, it's just, let's say, to increase it, it's also interesting, even if you not get it all the time. Let's say if you get it more times than yesterday, it's already good.
And should one know about the conditions or the cost? Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And by understanding that, one know that when there is attachment to good result, it is unwholesome.
Yeah, but you not must. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you not must attach.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When there is not enough understanding, who can stop?
You just know it is. Yeah, but you just know that you will breathe in the next second in the same way.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yeah, but. Right at that moment? Is that right at that moment that you know, or just after that moment that attachment has gone?
Okay, let's find a compromise. I mean, this negative influence is, let's say, minor than the good result. So you just, let's say, concentrate on the good result. And this minor influence that you were thinking a little bit about the good result, you don't worry too much about it because you're just on the way.
Which is small.
See? It's going to be enlightened, I know.
Thinking about good result more than knowing that there is attachment.
Yeah, but look, it's better to do good things. Even sometimes you have the feeling you do it because of good results than not to do good things.
And what is better, to do it without?
Sure, it is better expecting. To do it without.
Without expecting.
It's always better to be blind.
Yeah. No, it can develop.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
As there must be condition for attachment, attachment would arise after seeing and hearing. But we do developing understanding too. Because
I think a lot of people who are not Buddhist at all, they have very good karma because they just follow this path or they follow this understanding, whatever you call it, but don't know about Buddhism at all. But they have just very good karma because they do all these type of things.
Yeah.
They don't expect something. Yeah.
That's why there are even good karmas or kusa citta, wholesome cittas. There are four kusa cittas accompanied with panya and four without panya. So as it is the condition for good result, it will bring very great good result, but without panya or right understanding. So people are different. Some people also get good results.
What is this panya?
Right understanding.
Right understanding.
Yeah. With panya. And some have only good results without panya. So what
is better?
Panya. With panya is better. With panya is much better. Because it helps one to have less attachment. Nothing can decrease.
And also, you know,
feeling happened to you.
If you
very good impressions for a long time, so you can avoid them. And you not tend to think bad side.
Correct also to think of gamma as a conditioning factor, a kind of condition.
Yeah, it's gamma condition, of the 24.
Right. When it is a condition, then we're not talking about gamma as a reality.
It is.
It is also.
Yeah, because realities are different conditions. Citta is conditioned for jetasika. Jetasika is conditioned for citta by way of being sampayutta-paccaya arising together and something like that. It realities are paccaya conditions. Citta conditions cetasika and rupa, and cetasika conditions citta and rupa conditions citta and cetasika.
So yesterday we were talking about the different kinds of condition for rupas.
For rupa only.
Gamma is a condition for rupa.
Yeah.
Is that also, in that sense, is that chetana jetasika as a condition for rupa?
Certainly. Even while one is moving or talking now, it is chetana, which
accompany citta, and also other cittas are also other cetasikas, condition the movement of the body.
But we talk
speech.
About past karma as a condition for the present moment.
Yeah,
of
because
rupa,
we talk just one side or one aspect of karma, because karma can be conditioned in the past or also in the present.
Right.
Yeah.
So when it's
two
a
kinds.
Past condition, for example, the rupa of the body at this moment is conditioned by karma from
right.
the past.
Eyes, ears, nose, tongue.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that?
And in the past, I don't mean just previous life. Any past deeds, maybe a minute ago.
It may be a minute ago.
Yeah.
But is that also that past karma? Is that Chetana Chetasika?
Certainly. When we talk about karma, it cannot be other Chetasika except Chetana Chetasika. Only Chetana Chetasika is karma, Pachaya, karma condition.
Is there a difference between the rupa condition by present karma and past karma?
Rupa cannot experience any object at all, so only citta and cetasika can vipaka or result, in the sense that it's the mental result.
But the difference between the rupa conditioned by present karma and past karma.
Yeah,
is
yeah.
The difference
is that the previous karma conditioned eye sense, ear sense, and the whole body, the body sense. But the moment when there is thinking, the citta, which are not the 10, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, must have rupa arising together when it arises. We might not know that citta keeps on condition rupa to arise, and when the citta condition rupa, there is cetana accompany citta too. That's why cetana accompany citta at this moment, and it conditioned rupa too. For instance, when you have good intention now, right now, it moves the hand to help and to do things. Yeah, that is the present cetana which accompany the wholesome citta.
One difference also is that the past karma, past chaitana, which brings about the result now, this has to be kamapata, but the present chaitana, which
also kamma, but present kamma,
but not kamapata.
Not kamapata. No. It depends, because when it can
be.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. When you move the hand out to reach for food, that is
but
not the akusala.
The past one must be kamapata, but the present one.
The past one
may
So vipaka is the result of kamapata, or any kind, any moment of karma is result is vipaka.
Vipaka is the result of previous karma.
Previous karma. Yeah. Kamapata.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or even it's there are factors for each karma. When it's not completed, it's still conditioned rupa to after birth, but not at moment of birth.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. So it can, even if it's not kamapata, it can still be conditioned
after birth.
Rebirth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because when karma produces result, which condition the rebirth consciousness, it depends on what degree of karma, whether it's kusala or akusala. That's why people are born as human being, rich or poor, as deva in the heavens, or as animal in the animal kingdom, or in hell, or in woeful plane, see, depending on degree of karma. And it's so very amazing that the patisanticitta, the rebirth consciousness, which is the result of karma, arises at that moment with very tiny, small, three groups only in the womb. The group which has the rupa, which is the base of the mind or the citta to arise, one group, and the other group is body sense, and the other group is what you call sex, or
yes,
female or male, yeah, gene or something, I don't know. And at that moment, the temperature in the rupa, which is conditioned by karma, which is called kammacarupa, condition another rupa. That's why by the karma which produced the rupa and the temperature in the kammacharupa, condition different form and shape, because at moment of rebirth consciousness, the rupa does not appear as elephant or cat or human being at all. But by that previous karma, which conditioned that person to be born in this plane. But since we have different size, different complex, and different feature, it depends on karma, which produced the temperature, and the temperature conditioned rupa too. All done by karma and temperature and ahara and citta, all rupas. Each group is conditioned by just one condition. One group which is conditioned by karma cannot be conditioned by citta or cetasika. But they are there, here. Except only 10 citta that can, except only 10 citta that cannot produce rupa. Other citta always produce citta, even while you are asleep. Because you see that the whole body seems so very solid, like you cannot break it up at all. But in reality, each group arises at different time, and it falls away at different time too. So it falls away so fast that it, it's like you still keep them in your mind, that is there all the time. But in reality, any rupa that any rupa that does not appear at that time has fallen away. See, so just very tiny group which is experienced is there, just at moment of experiencing. But while one is experiencing or citta experiences, it falls away too. That's why right understanding which is developed can directly experience the arising and falling away of it. When there's the idea of I, my body is sitting, that is only memory of the whole body, while each group arising and falling away instantly. Because when comparing to the citta which sees and hears, they are far apart, but they seem like they arise together. At this moment of hearing, there's also seeing. So one rupa lifespan lasts only for 17 moments of citta arising and falling away. So we can see how fast each rupa arising and falling away.
Why not 16 times?
It depends on whether you count the moment when it arises or not.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to know why it's important to know how many moments there are when we've had experience.
You cannot know, nobody cannot know, but Buddha had experienced and enlightened.
Is it important to know it?
It depends on whether you would like to know how much rupa falls away so fast, beyond expectation. You think that maybe 7 days or 1 hour or 10 minutes or 1 minute is faster than that. Okay?
You'd rather have it expressed in fractions of a second.
No, not at all. In fact, because I can't experience it, I don't know, you know, if it's that important. Okay, understandably, it makes it very, you know, you can say yes, it falls away very quickly, but the fact is that I haven't experienced it and I don't expect to experience but it probably until you ever reach Arahanta anyway.
Yeah, but if you learn about at moment when it arises and it contacts the eye sense, one moment has passed and the second moment citta does not see it yet or experience it yet. The second moment is still the pavanga, the life continuum, and the third.
Well, this may very well be true. It's like, is there a God or is there no God?
That is unrelated.
Yes, is there an atom or is there no atom? I mean, it is not something I can experience, and I thought that in Dhamma, one is, it's fine to talk about it, but isn't it just blind faith in something like this?
No, we don't ask you to believe. We don't ask you to have confidence, but we tell you just the truth that Buddha had enlightened and he teach and he taught us all about this. And you can see.
But we must take it in faith.
No, you just read and consider whether rupa falls away or not, and how fast before you realize that it has fallen away. It has completely gone.
I can understand it goes, it falls away. We can experience that.
But when it arises to contact the eye sense at that moment, no seeing yet, right or wrong.
No,
see, we follow one and one step,
There's no problem with understanding that things fall away because
so,
it happens right now.
Be aware and study and develop more understanding to see the distinction between nama and rupa first, and then panya, right understanding, grows and grows until there is some detachment from clinging to nama and rupa, and the awareness can be aware of all citta, through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and body, and mind too, and then have more and more detachment, because the way to attain the higher understanding must come from detachment only. If one tries with attachment, it's impossible to gain the right understanding, because it's done by ignorance. Ignorance cannot take you to higher understanding.
But many people are put off by these 70 moments. Lodwick also, there are more people.
Well,
they
because,
say, why 70?
Yes, because yeah. it is purely a faith thing that it does exist that way. It's not a reality. You can't experience
it. And then why citta arises and falls away too?
Well, no, I don't have a problem with things falling away because right now sound has fallen away.
And one knows that citta falls away faster than
so
rupa,
faster than
right?
Yes, but maybe it does.
Then
but
how fast?
That's the rupa. That's one
aspect. Well, we can talk about numbers, but how relevant is it?
It's in relation to citta, the rupa and the citta.
We can round it off at 20 if you like.
The way the process is explained in the Abhidharma, the process of citta experiencing one rupa, and in that way it's understandable.
Yes, I'm just...
It's understandable.
I still find it's a faith thing.
But look, in general, all your experience is human-based, so you can also doubt this. Why not? It's also related to your human being status, to your senses which you have available.
No, the senses should be experienced. I have no problem with my senses. I have no problem with knowing that a minute ago there was sound and now there's no sound from Ajahn or someone else.
It's limited to experience.
The impermanence of sound is absolutely no problem whatsoever.
No, I'm speaking about the human being status.
Yeah, we're not talking about anything, we're talking about sound. Human being is just a concept. We're not worried about human beings. In Dhamma, human being doesn't exist.
Jonathan.
It's just a concept. So we're talking about concepts, we're talking about realities. And I'm just saying we get into an area there where it seems like it's a faith thing. It's not an experience thing. It can be something. Well, even the Buddha on his deathbed said, "Don't believe people because they are venerable or old or have wisdom."
You're not being asked to believe.
Okay, fine. We're not asked to believe, but then what's the point in delving on it if it's not to believe?
In order to have more understanding of the difference between the mentality and the corporeality.
Most of what appears in the teachings we cannot verify immediately for ourselves anyway, especially particularly in the Abhidhamma.
So I thought that was the reason for the stressing by the Buddha that we should only keep to those things we can know for sure, and from knowing can believe.
It doesn't mean you can't discuss other aspects.
Oh sure, you can discuss anything you want. You can discuss God too. He may be there, he may not be there. You can just talk about atoms too. They might be or they might not be, but they're not relevant to Dhamma. I'm just saying, what is relevant to understanding Dhamma?
Yes.
I take it to give me an idea how fast it is.
We can say
so
that. But, you know,
then.
It might be even more rapid than that. If we talk about computers today, they do billions of moments in a second. So, that, you know, 17 moments is not a lot.
So you
it's
know
not
that
a lot compared to a computer.
No.
No, it is. Because how
you can multiply
you're
by three
seconds to a moment of jitta. It's not the same thing.
But anyway, the thing,
each moment into three.
The thing is, we can know the speed. We know the speed of it by just experiencing now. We know that the sound falls away
but
pretty
that's
fast.
That's a sound. That's a concept already. Because that's the sound of the car, somebody's voice.
It's gone. It's gone.
But it's not the real moment of sound that you were experiencing. So you can't say you have verified it any more than you have verified 17 seconds of moments of rupa.
I know it's disappeared. That's enough. It has gone.
It's not enough, really.
Well, it's enough to know that the impermanence of it to that degree, of course.
But if you know more about the lifespan of arupa,
sorry?
If you know the details.
If you don't know
how long arupa lasts,
then you will be satisfied
but
that
where do
having
we,
heard
how
the
do we
voice
know,
fall away,
how do we know how long the
impermanence.
How do you know how long arupa lasts?
Sati will show you that
Buddha
it's very short.
Taught
it doesn't matter whether it's 17
what he
or 16
had experienced and enlightened.
But how do we
I didn't
measure?
Make it up.
No, I understand that. But how do we know that what the Buddha said was
it
put down?
It doesn't matter
faithful?
How much you know, because you cannot know as much as Buddha. But you can follow his teaching until you had become you become enlightened. But you don't have to be Buddha yourself.
But isn't there the danger?
You don't have to get hung up on 17.
No, it's not that at all.
It is.
Well,
it is that.
So I wonder why we talk about 17. I mean,
but actually, you are talking about it.
Yes, I am concerned about it because I don't understand the reason for delving on it.
We're not delving.
Well, we talk about it a lot, don't we?
Yes, just to understand for those who just come and don't know how fast, that's all. And after that, we don't have to come back again. It depends on, we would like to know the process of citta.
No, in a scientific sense, it's quite interesting. It's but it's also conceptual.
In a scientific sense and Abhidhamma sense is the same thing. Only explanation maybe guide you to some other way and then get to the scientific point. But we can start with the shortcut, with scientific explanation. And to reach the same for the same thing.
We relate it back to yesterday's discussion, Ivan. It's like yesterday people were saying, well, what's the point of hearing that it's seeing an invisible object? Or what's the point of knowing that there are all realities are nama and rupa? Because when it's not something that's directly experienced, you think, well, why are you hearing it? But if you don't hear it, there can be no conditions for these realities ever to be known. Now, by hearing that, it doesn't matter whether it's 17 or 15, but it gives one an idea of the speed. And so, of course, it's something that one just hears and considers intellectually as a condition for more understanding to develop.
Would you like to know more, or would you like to know just lobha, dosa, moha?
I'd like to keep in mind what the Buddha said. He made it very clear, and there's a reason he made it very clear on his deathbed, that you should question and doubt and pull apart everything that's said. And I understand that he said that because in time, people will misinterpret what he said and put down on paper the wrong things. And therefore, the way that you check the Buddha's teaching is to always bring it to what can be experienced and you can know. So 17's fine, yes, I can keep it up there until one day maybe I experience 17 moments. But I'm just wondering, can one experience 17 moments?
No one think too much about it. Because you know that why do you want to keep Buddha's word in your mind too? There must be reason.
Well, maybe I can look at it this way too. We often say to people that Dhamma is something that you can experience, it's a reality, that's the way you check with it, and then you turn around and say 17 moments to someone. That does leave doubts in their mind that what you're talking about isn't contradictory.
I don't see why.
No,
I don't agree with that. Because it's not said that everything that appears in the teaching can be verified by every person. So I think that's not what is meant when it's said that the Dhamma can be verified. only a very small proportion of anything that appears in the teaching can be verified by anyone at any stage.
I think in Buddhism we can keep verify the explanation in Buddhism. It's not like the Bible, you cannot. When you have faith, means you stick to it. But in Buddhism, we not start with faith. So you can verify, you can make clear, check with your body, your mind, your chetasik. This thing is to check the context.
Only to some extent.
Yeah, because context written by very old people and their concept, their previous knowledge is different from our previous knowledge. So anyway, it needs an interpretation. But what tools to check it? It's your body. Otherwise you cannot reach the heart of the teaching of the Buddha.
If you don't have manual, you cannot do anything.
Yeah, we need manual. And the checker, your heart. It affects your brain.
And to me, I think that it's so very difficult for anyone to eradicate the idea of self. Just knowing little things like eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and lobha, and dosa, and moha, that's not enough. Because it doesn't help me to see how all these realities are anatta. The more I know, it's like the more I have my understanding sharper and sharper to really be able to cut off the idea of self and to really experience reality as it is without study.
I believe after the understanding, they can read a bit clear and understanding. But to start with the contextual, this is based on a deaf language, Bali. So very difficult for our present knowledge, present terminology to make clear, you know, mind. So anyway, if we would like to study in the scientific way, we should better start something, you know, with the framework of the scientific.
Does it tell you about citta and cetasika? The scientific way does tell you about citta and cetasika in details, the arising and falling away, the moment. Non-self?
Non-self. You can add self to self, but anyway, I can...
Who sees? There is seeing, all right, but who sees?
Yourself, because yourself see? Is a checker.
See? So, I don't think that any science
but
teach about non-self.
And guidelines are from Abhidhamma.
So we better learn Abhidhamma and study carefully.
You can't say that the whole view is combined of the room.
Little understanding
citta,
is not enough.
Citta. Right?
Even knowing citta and cetasika is not enough because there are much more to learn about each characteristic so that one can be sure.
We can start with a very simplified concept and then we can add, you know, the more detail to each aspect. Otherwise, we cannot study the complex things, you know, at the same time.
It depends
we have to start with something more simple.
Like
especially
what?
Action, start with action already.
Yeah, and you can perceive it with your mental structure. And everything according to Abhidhamma, only the approach a little bit different.
So if you are interested in Abhidhamma and you agree that all realities are citta, cetasika, and rupa, where is the room in the Abhidhamma for the idea of I that sees? Because you think that it's I that sees, but this is not Dhamma or
the room of the I?
Sorry?
The I or the I?
Oh, when you said that you think that it is I,
ego
that sees. So is ego nama or rupa? Is it citta, cetasika or rupa?
The eye is from sankhara. You can stop your sankhara and your eye.
What do you mean that eye is from sankhara?
Sankhara, logical thought. Logical thinking.
So it's an idea, concept.
Okay, we start with a simple concept and we will again it's later. If we don't believe it. We, mind is a checker. The same thing, what are you trying to explain? Also checked by the listener's mind. Listener's logical thing, thought. First, listener's previous knowledge, previous theory. Otherwise, you
right
cannot go
wrong,
through it.
Right or wrong?
Yeah, because the checker is in charge.
Because there are wrong understanding and right understanding. How can we know whether that understanding is right or whether it's
later,
wrong?
Later, after you understand.
Before understanding
system.
Reality, no one says that I know everything about reality, is right?
Yeah, there's no chance of condition, you cannot no chance to study and no chance to understand. Only one form of right understanding. No choice.
Many people study the whole Abhidharma in detail, all with the wrong idea of self.
Yeah, most.
Because they can read all the details, they can read about 17 and 16 and 14, they can read about Nama and Rupa, but because the wrong idea of self is so strong that whatever they read, that it's the Abhidharma, they read it all with the idea of self.
No I don't understanding that way. At all. I don't go that way. And scientifically. And simply. Because I used to go that way. I had nothing
there's
at all.
There's always this tension in life. You can
and
die.
After
but
I understand
try,
the 74 way, so I understand Abhidharma.
That's
later.
Why the understanding in the beginning is so important, because otherwise if one clings to the wrong view of self, who does this and that, it means whatever one reads or hears, read and hear in the wrong way.
But look, nobody doubts that it's very important to be very careful at the beginning. But I think it's not really helpful if you doubt too much that you don't know nothing at all the time. If you always doubt everything you know, then how you can do with some kind of progress? I mean, if you tell her that she does not know anything, how she can teach Buddhism then? Maybe she makes some mistakes, but it doesn't matter. See, people, if they're interested, and that's a key point, if she can organize some motivation in this school. They may learn by themselves, so they can go further than she is, maybe. It doesn't matter.
No one said to her that she doesn't know anything.
No,
what people said was that if one is trying to help others, especially, one needs to really clarify whether one has the right idea or not. And if one doesn't have the right idea, one needs to hear and consider a lot more until one does have the right idea. Because otherwise, if one has the wrong idea and one teaches others the wrong idea, then it means not only oneself goes off track, but also one's students go off track. So that's why people suggested that it would be helpful if she can hear and consider more. For myself, I like to consider deeper and deeper and to really question whether my idea is right or wrong. And when one knows without doubt that it's right, that's fine. But when there's something that one isn't sure about, I like to hear more and consider more. And even if I have some understanding of what is right, still I need to hear and consider and find out more details. And if one has the wrong idea and one feels confident about it, then it's okay if one's happy to live in ignorance. But if one's, so it depends again what the goal in one's life is. If one's goal is to develop more understanding, then one needs to hear and consider more and more of what is the right view. Otherwise one just follows one's wrong idea and goes on with the idea of self who can do all these things.
And for my case, because I mixed traditional belief in Buddhism with Dhamma, and then so that's why I misunderstood almost everything. Your teachings from Tipitaka, I think that not only in Thailand, everywhere in the world, we can say that few people have studied.
Yeah, but decreasing for the West, I think you can't say, because it's
increasing or
decreasing in the West, because there was nothing in the past, or not so much, let's say in America or so, so it's increasing. There are more people now interested, more people teaching, more people listening.
Wrongly or rightly? So this is the question.
Sure, it's a question, but you know or I know? Who knows?
You
have to attend all teachings to
the
know.
The wrong understanding is very easily spread.
Right. But let's assume they do it in a good way. Mm-hmm. Let's assume they do it in a good way. I mean, we don't know.
I don't like to assume. I like to trust.
Okay. let's go to America. Pay the trip, I'd like to come with you. Let's check them out all.
Kunina, you have one.
We learn that karma is the cause of the birth of a child, but also the parents have influence. But how can that be? Because karma selects the family.
Karma is not a person or a being that it can select.
Not a person, the condition.
It's like the question, if you see a tree grows here, why it here? Not there, see?
Mm-hmm. By conditions, but we don't know all the conditions.
If you have questions, it would be like this, why here, not there?
Mm-hmm.
But you see that in the plane of five khandhas, the nama depends on rupa and the right conditions too.
Yeah. But you learn about genes in science, and that you see the likeness of the children to the parents so much. It's not by accident.
Are we not all alike?
No, but in the family, it's really something else. That's what I think.
I look more like my mother than I look like you, considering.
These
what
things.
What about your ancestors, huh? Yeah? Longer than this?
Probably
million years ago, if you trace back. My mother, my mother, my mother, my mother, my mother, my mother. And then who?
But it cannot be denied that certain things of the father or of the mother, and you can see it so clearly in a family.
But you think very short about just two or three generations. What about further than that? Have you seen Adams and Eve?
But her question is, why though is there this strong resemblance just in the family? Without thinking back.
I think that there are not more than 52 jetasikas and citta. So it depends on accumulation which produce the rupa, and people have the similar or dissimilar thing like complex and the color of the eyes and things like that. I don't think that that is the main thing that we should think about, because it just depends on weather or other conditions as well.
Like?
If someone goes to live in somewhere in the North Pole, skin change too, environment, the taste for food,
Food is important, important condition.
You see every you see every moment, you see as a, let's say, special, I don't know the English word, let's say entity or special, like something which is cut and then there is another one and there is another one, or is it like a chain which is overlapping or linked together or something like
each
this?
Each individual one is conditioned by different.
It's completely
conditioned.
Individual.
Yeah.
So every moment is completely individual. There is no relation. I mean, there are conditions, but it's this moment like a person. There's this person and this person, this person, this person, by its own conditions.
By karma, which still produces the same being.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the moment is in the same way. There is one moment and then there is another moment.
Yeah.
So this moment is gone completely.
Completely. Like the extinction of fire when you light a candle.
Yeah.
Each fire has its own condition. When it falls away, it's the new one is not the previous one, by different conditions.
And it's like the flame which you keep for one moment.
Mm-hmm,
And I told him that in Thailand there are not there's no good social welfare because of the taxation. In Thailand we don't tax as much as in Britain or in Germany. In Thailand, this is less, there's nothing to do with religion. There's something to do with social structure and there's something to do with the government.
So people tend to judge or be concerned by these deeds or actions. What's a good answer for this?
Who knows who is helping who in what way, see?
we have different accumulations. Some people would like to give food to the monks, and some would like to give it to the poor. Some would like to build hospitals. Some would like to do different kind of kusala.
But you can see a general trend, or you can recognize a general trend.
Yeah, it depends on the individual person. Like, you can see that we have many big temples and things like buildings, because that person has accumulation to donate money for that, but not for this.